backgrounds, we encounter different events and all that sort of thing. Well, so too with people's, understanding, development of the understanding of prayer. It's an individual journey. And there's no one way to grow except to do it, right? So, but there are things that we can teach. So standing up here and saying, I'm going to preach on prayer, please don't expect all the answers. you'll be disappointed, but what I can do is share from what God says and help to open up that scripture to you so that you can take that into your journey. Right, and that you can learn and you can grow and you can take that on board, apply it to where you're at, the things that you're facing, the journey, the place in the journey that you're at, and grow as God wants you to grow through this encounter today. So I pray, Lord, that the words that come from my mouth are your words, and that all of us here, including myself, may get to understand and see your heart as well as your wisdom for us as you want us to grow as your children into that maturity and strength and life that you promised to us through Jesus Christ. So bless us in this way we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, a woman was watching her 4-year-old son as he was playing in the backyard. And he was there with the little wading pool, and he had water in the wading pool, and here he is walking back and forth, splashing, making lots of splashing and everything else. And then all of a sudden, he steps out, goes, gets a bucket and starts shuffling it out. And the mum turns to him and says, why are you doing that? He said, well, at Sunday school last week, they were talking about Jesus walking on water. And, well, this stuff doesn't work. You know, some people look at prayer or treat prayer like that 4-year-old treating the water. You know, they enter into it, they wade in, they try and try and try, and it just didn't work. All right? So they feel like turfing the whole lot. Or they reduce prayer to a mere wish list that they bring along and that they hope some of it will get answered. All right, throw it up and see what might come my way. That's not prayer. That's not what prayer is to be. Sometimes we're there, and to be honest, I mean, in my own life, sometimes that's what it becomes. I come along and all I go to do is, oh God, I need this and I need this and I need this. All right? And it's all about me. But that's not what it should be. Now, put simply, prayer is time that you spend in conversation with God, all right, as your Heavenly Father. As your Heavenly Father. So it's not the same as other conversations. Similar, but not the same. It's actually part of your relationship with God. It's part of building that relationship with God. If you want to grow in a relationship with God, if you want to learn to hear the voice of God, then there's two things you should do. One, read His Word. Get to know. He's preserved it all these centuries just for you. All right? So read it. And then converse with Him. Interact with Him. That's how you grow in a relationship. All right? Pretty hard to grow in a relationship where you never have anything to do with somebody. All right? But that's what it is. It's part of that. Building your relationship with God. And because it's with God, right, it can be very powerful and effective. All right? These conversations in more ways than you ever imagine, because this is God, right? However, if your prayer life, your prayer time gets reduced to just a bland list of things that you want or want done, and it's just thrown up with the hope of something good falling out of it, then don't expect it to work. All right? If it does, it's a gift. All right? But don't expect that, because that's not what God talks about when he talks about prayer and its powerfulness and its effectiveness. All right? Prayer is actually a gift. It's a divine gift, a gift from heaven, a powerful gift for God's people to have in this world. But God doesn't intend for it to be reduced to a heavenly vending machine. You know, where you go up and you go, I want that one. Put in the prayer. Shoot. Beauty. Right? That's not what prayer is supposed to be. In James chapter 4, a bit before the reading we had, it says, you do not have because you do not ask God. Right? And there's two things there. Firstly, the asking, and therefore the God bit, right? If you're really taking it to God. And when you ask, it says, you do not receive because you ask with the wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your pleasure. Right? Just about you. That life is just about you. Why would God want to answer that? Right? He is interested in you. Don't get that wrong. But life is not meant to be just about you. And if you're looking at your growth as a Christian, your life is bigger than that. And God doesn't want it to be just that. And there will be times in your life when that's all you're capable of, is asking just for yourself. And that's okay if you're honest with God and you're really coming to God honestly and going, God, I'm not really there yet. I've been doing that a bit lately, right? With some struggles and stuff. And I realized that's been me in a bit, as I struggle with calls and all the stuff that's going on. I'm just going, oh, God, I just can't cope with anything else. My prayer is that. And that's okay, but that shouldn't be the way your prayer life grows or develops, right? In its essence, it's about growth, right? See, if you really ask what that's about, God is in the process of growing you into someone with a life that is bigger than what this world can grow you into, or the life that can be given by this world. God is into growing you bigger than that, right? Bigger than the world's pleasures, right? And just focusing on yourself and what you want in prayer makes God into a vending machine, makes prayer into a vending machine, and it makes you into something that more like the sinking Peter, focusing on yourself and just the things around you instead of focusing on Jesus, which is where prayer gets its power. All right? It's not about the prayer. It's not a magic formula. It's about who you're relating to. All right? It's about God. And so prayer is about that relationship with him. And as I focus on him, I see where my strength lies. I see where my power is. Not in myself, not in the things around me. I see where my life is. I see where my pleasure is. I see where, the best of anything that can be is in Jesus and through Jesus and in God. All right? Jesus didn't teach us to pray, give us this day our daily bread, without first teaching us to also pray, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. And then let's get to the other stuff, right? But first of all, there's a focus on God. And that's how prayer gets its power, right? From Matthew chapter 7, people often quote, and this is, we heard a bit of it in Luke, in the Luke's gospel, in Matthew gospel, it also quotes those words, and people quote these words. They say, ask and it will be given you, seek and you will find, knock and the door will be opened to you, for everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks the door will be opened. And then it goes on, if you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, How much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? And so they quote those words, but they never finish the quote. They don't go on and say the rest of the words that say, so in everything, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. For this sums up the law and the prophets. Right? Brings it back to what's pleasing to God. You know, what's his way? What's his life about? His life is about building a community, restoring a harmony that was there in creation, right? Of people who are watching out for people, of a community where it's safe to be, of the blessings of life in its fullness, where I'm not alone. And it's not all about me. And I'm not just here to try and make it work on my own. Even if I've got something like a backup God that I can pull things down through. No, it's not about that. Neither do they mention that it's also part of Jesus' teaching for you to be careful about judging others. And also about you not getting worried about earthly provisions, but instead to seek first the kingdom of God, right? And his righteousness. That is, the relationship, the right relationship with him. There's that relationship thing again. And the life that flows from it, right? So it's not about rules. It's about that life we get from God. That's what righteousness is. That right relationship and what flows from that. All right? So you've got, they don't talk about those things. And then that promise isn't there that says, know that your heavenly Father, you know, seek his righteousness, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then all these things will be added to you as well. All right? Same as the Lord's Prayer. Back there again. All right? So they miss the promise, and they miss the bigger picture of how that life is and works and prayer, and how prayer is a divine blessing for this life with God. And so as we think about prayer, as you think about prayer, don't think of it as something that you have to do, that God says, oh, you should be doing this. Think of it as a gift. Right? Think of it as a way to grow close to God and then to line your life up with his and then bring blessing to the world as he also looks after you, and you get to experience that. So that when you're working, when you're ministering to somebody, or when you're looking with sitting down with somebody and you're listening to them with the heart of Jesus, that he might speak through you as, you know, the Holy Spirit brings back the words that Jesus have said to you and comforted you. And you find yourself saying things like that to these people. All right? As the strength that you've experienced can then be imparted to another who needs so much the strength that God has for their life. Your prayer becomes something that becomes natural. Conversations with God, as your walk with God. So make space for it in your life. Put aside the time. You know, I know some people are really good at keeping in touch with other people. I'm hopeless at it, right? Ask my mum. She rings me because I always get so busy that I'm not ringing her. So she rings and says, just wondering if you're still on the planet. But make space and put aside that time to have a decent conversation with God. If you're frustrated with life and what's God doing, find a space to go and have it out with him. You know, he's big enough to take that. You have a look at the Psalms. If you don't believe me, look at the Psalms. Look at some of those Psalms that are quite abusive, right? In the way that, but they always end well, right? There's only one or two that sort of end up with, like that, all right? And they're going off, not ready there yet, not really ready yet to praise him, but I'm still with him, right? And that's the beauty of the Psalms. They bring the whole of this Christian life down to earth, right? And make it real. And make it real. With all its brokenness, with all its hurt, and yet there's praise somewhere in the middle of that. All right? And that's prayer. So find a space to have that conversation with God without the distractions of the things around you. All right? And I might have mentioned to you, I think it was St. Augustine's mum that had the apron. She made a prayer, and she's like a little kid. You know how they love making cubby houses? Well, she did it with an apron, right? With 11 kids or whatever it was, right? John Wesley's mum. That's right, yes. With all the kids and everything else around, she just put the apron over her head and you didn't dare interrupt her, because that's her prayer room, right? And that's where she was doing war with all the other stuff that was terrorizing her, and with the heart that yearned for her children to come to faith, right, and to blossom in their Christian life. That's her prayer room. She got in there and she had that conversation with God, right, and don't you interrupt it. That's the way it was. So, you know, talk with him about your struggles. Talk with him about your joys, right? The things that, and see what you've got that's to be thankful for in life, and share that with God. Tell him. And also see, though, who else he wants you, you know, be listening to who else he might want you to pray for, what he might want you to do, not just what you want him to do, but seek to find out what he might want you to do, because that actually might be the answer to your need and your prayer. That he has a job that will lift you out of your doldrums, lift you out of whatever struggle that you're facing, or lift you up into what you're praying for, which is patience, faith, you know, and all these other things. He gives you a job that requires patience, faith. That's why sometimes I don't pray, right? Because I know what the answer is going to be. So I'm not quite ready to pray that, God, because I know you'll answer it, and I don't know if I'm quite ready for that yet. So I have to pray first. God, no, I'm going to pray something, but first of all, you've got to help me get ready for this, right? To be in the place that I need to be. So be honest with yourself as well as with God in this conversation, right, that you have. That will really bring a smile to God's face, right, as you grow in a self-awareness as well as a God awareness, right, because he wants that too, right? So do that. Have that sort of prayer instead of just a wish list, right? And then you might see a big difference that happens. And further to that, just before our reading today from James 5, it says, "Be patient then, brothers, until the Lord's coming. See how the farmer waits for the land to yield its valuable crop, and how patient he is for the autumn and spring rains. You too, be patient and stand firm, because the Lord's coming is near." Right? And that means his answers to prayer too. "We consider blessed those who have persevered. You have heard of Job's perseverance and have seen what the Lord finally brought about. The Lord is full of compassion and mercy." Doesn't always look like it, but he is full of compassion and mercy. And then it says, if any one of you is in trouble, he should pray. Right? Prayer is a gift for bigger things than just a list of what you want to do. Prayer is a gift that brings us into the presence of God in a very close and a very personal way. It's a gift connected to faith and the growing of faith. It's a gift for the growing of God's kingdom, first in your life and also then in the world. All right? And because it's a gift connected to your faith and to God, it's also a gift as a weapon to defeat all the attacks against you by the devil, by ungodly cultures, and by your own misguided desires. So as you search the scriptures to grow deeper, a deeper understanding of prayer, you know, you may be amazed at how many times in scripture the passages connected to asking and about praying are given in both the context of standing firm in the midst of suffering and with the offer of still being able to be joyful, to be fearless, and to be at peace and able to give thanks in all circumstances. So it doesn't come with the promise. Prayer doesn't come with the promise that God will take away all our sufferings. Even though we know that God can do that, He's able to make that happen, it doesn't come with that promise. It is more that He promises that whenever we ask, He will not fail to enter into that fray, enter into that situation with us, and to redeem the suffering or to redeem the trouble and make it serve our good, make it serve the growth of others, and make it serve His good purposes. That's what He promises. So if you want to see, and if you want to see that, just look at the life of Jesus, right? And as Jesus interacts with His Heavenly Father, right? You know, when Jesus reveals to Peter that Satan has asked to sift him, as well as the others, and Jesus says, "But I pray for you, Simon, that your faith may not fall." Jesus prayed that, right? And was Jesus' prayer answered? At first it seemed God wasn't there. Peter's faith failed him. He denied Jesus 3 times, right? Peter suffered guilt. He suffered confusion. He suffered failure. So what about Jesus' prayer? Well, we know the story wasn't finished there. We know now that wasn't the end of the story, don't we? As the story unfolds, what we actually see is out of the ashes of that pain and of that suffering, so to speak, a new refined Peter emerged. One that was very strong, but strong in an appreciation of God's forgiveness. A person strong in understanding that acceptance that comes from God in the face of sin, of the mercy and of God's strength, not his. A person much better equipped to lead God's church God's way rather than his way. All right? So when you pray, be confident that God will be at work. And keep your eyes on that truth. The Garden of Gethsemane teaches us that the thing that God changes or fixes is often not the situation, but the person praying. Sometimes the prayer time itself is where the real struggle takes place, the battle takes place. Now, Philip Yancey, in his book on prayer, said, "For most of us, prayer serves as a resource to help in a time of testing or conflict. For Jesus, it was the battle itself. Abba Father, said Jesus, everything is possible for you. Take this cup from me." And it's like Jesus first saying, "You are the creator of the universe. You can do anything. This looks too much for me to bear. Father, I give up. There must be some other way. I beg you, Father, please, if there's any other way." And later, though, we hear Jesus say, "Yet not I will, but what you will." And now it's more like, More than anything, Father, I want rescue and I want deliverance from the enemy, and that's what you want, only not just for me, but for the world. We cannot have one without sacrificing the other, and that, of course, is why I came. And therefore, I yield your greater, more costly will is now mine too. That's how Philip Yancey puts it. And once the Gethsemane prayers are aligned with the Father's will, what happened next was merely the means to fulfill it. The battle is over through the prayer. And if I might just take a few more minutes, I know this is long. Yancey quotes the insight of Hayden Robinson, and he says, "Where was it that Jesus sweat great drops of blood? Not in Pilate's hall, nor on his way to Golgotha. It was in the Garden of Gethsemane. And there he offered up prayers and petition with loud cries and tears to the one who could save him from death." That's from Hebrews. "And had I been there and witnessed the struggle, I would have worried about the future. If he is so broken up when all he is doing is praying, I might have said, what will he do when he faces a real crisis? Why can't he approach this ordeal with the calm confidence of his three sleeping friends? And yet, when the test came, Jesus walked to the cross with courage, and his three friends fell away." Right? Fell apart and fell away. So now, where are we left in regard to prayer? Possibly still with a lot of questions. All right? Rightly so. Questions to think about, to talk about, to search out in God's word. But I pray you also go forward with a new appreciation of God's presence and his work as we pray. And I pray also that we yield to being taught and to becoming part of God's bigger plan for the salvation and the care of the others that he loves in our community, our nation and our world. For he clearly teaches that we should be seeking the good of others much more even than the good of ourselves. And so now, to finish, as Jesus said, "Now that you know these things," you know how that finishes? "You will be blessed if you do it." Right? Do them. So maybe that, may that be your future, and may that be your growth. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.